on the beat goes on. Yeah, cash rules everything around me. Queen, get the money, dollar, dollar bill, y'all. First week of football, first game, first college football, first high school football.
I was going to say, what level, coach?
Oh, please. It has started. It is on. This is the last Sunday before NFL starts. In the last Sunday, there will be no football till February 9th, 2014. Hodge Odds LA. I'm the coach. This is Lark.
Ahoy, ahoy.
First game this week versus Chino, Lark.
How'd it go for you?
33-6, win, victory.
Sounds like a fantastic win for the for you guys.
Scores can be misleading, but yeah, I thought we dominated the game. Kick returns went really well.
Timeout. You say scores can be misleading, but yeah, you say dominated the game, so where's the difference?
Well, yeah, fair enough. Right. But dominate was a strong word. We controlled the game. Thank you for calling me out. We controlled the game. I don't think we dominated the game.
It's my specialty.
We controlled the game. Return game went well. And it was great because our head coach has a legitimate beef with their head coach.
Why so?
I don't really want to get into that too much. It's a personal thing.
Understood.
But he was, okay, well, I'll give it to you, long story short. The other guy was on the staff and they hit each other. And the guy that we beat from Chino High School tried to get our head coach fired whilst on staff.
So again, if people had just common sense, they'll be able to figure out exactly who you're talking about by the other details you gave in that story.
If they're researching what I'm saying that much, then yeah, welcome in. We held on to the ball, one turnover versus three. I would say our defensive MVP was their offensive coordinator. Absolutely horrible. It's this whole new stuff. Everybody thinks that they're, on the cutting edge of play calling, and I hate this style of offense where everyone, they're about to call a play, and then everybody looks over to the, and then they put up some kind of sign with some kind of stupid freaking signature on it, or some kind of color, and they turn around and they don't block anybody and lose 3 yards. I hate that. Everybody thinks they're freaking Chip Kelly nowadays. They don't wear their visors. I don't like Chip Kelly either. I almost got into a fist fight with them once. Did I tell you that story?
No.
BC camp 2004, Boston College camp. He was working at UNH. I was working at Holy Cross. And they have beer socials every night after. And long story short, he was talking. You never get that feeling, the paranoid feeling. You see someone, you know they're talking about you. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's like, nothing. Blew me off. I'm like, all right, tough guy. And that was about it. Rule number one of radio, if you're going to tell a story, have a point.
Well, coach, let me put it this way. I'm a high school teacher. I have 180 students I stare at every day. When I look at those 180 kids on a daily basis, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
What are you looking at? College football rundown. Third week in a row, you got to mention it. Johnny Manziel got off with a half a football. I am falling in love with Johnny Manziel. If he could fall with a 20-year-old kid. It's great. He's like a bad guy professional wrestler, showing his money signs, showing the autograph sign. 6 of 8, 3 touchdowns. And I don't know, less than 100 yards, but he was just throwing touchdowns. Good for him. And you got guys like Mark May that just outrage. I don't know if you saw the footage. I don't think he was disrespecting his head coach. I think his head coach was just barking at him, and he just kind of walked by him. But good for him, proving him wrong. Did you watch that game today, Louisville?
No, I did not get to watch that game today.
Teddy Bridgewater, what a player. That's what the Raiders should draft. If the Raiders get the number one pick.
Wait a minute. Why are we picking the Raiders already for number one draft pick?
Fair enough.
You have to play a game.
You're right.
Come on, man.
That was pretty presumptuous my point. Could very well be Jacksonville.
We have yet to play a game. Let's wait a minute on that one.
It could very well be Jacksonville. It could be a number of teams. You're absolutely right. Whoever ends up in the top three, though, that guy is a stud. He's a winner. You can tell right away. And I love his name, Teddy Bridgewater. He sounds like he should be a bass player for some kind of Motown group.
Coach, but I do have a side question for you. I am also drafting my fantasy team again this week.
Back-to-back weeks?
Back-to-back weeks for my second team. But this time, I have the number one pick. And so I would like to call out any listener that is listening right now who thinks that they might have the best choice of me for my number one pick. Who should I pick number one for all fantasy
The literature seems to be a consensus Adrian Peterson.
That's who Yahoo has ranked number one.
That's
right.
That's the consensus of the literature.
And I'm just trying to decide if I should change that, if I should just leave it be. And I'm content leaving it be because I love the dude to death.
Do it. Give it. Do it. Pull the trigger. AP. It's 2 weeks in a row. Hardcore fantasy player. You're hardcore in your fantasy world.
Well, I was never a professional player, so hey. I got to live in the fantasy world. Look at it. The only choices I was given.
I got a fantasy draft tomorrow, so, you know, eating fantasy houses should not throw fantasy stones. Alabama over VTech. Not surprising. North Dakota State over Kansas State. Surprising. As a North Dakota native, what do you have to say about it?
Well, first of all, I'm kind of shocked you say it's surprising. You know, but again, if you're not familiar with North Dakota sports and how we have grown and how we have competed over the years, I guess I could see how it's not surprising.
Why isn't it surprising?
Well, I could see how it is. It could be surprising because Kansas State was the defending Big 12 champions.
Almost national champions last year.
Almost national championship. Cool. I mean, like I said, they were in contention. They were in talks. I mean, definitely top 25. But at the same time, North Dakota State, to be exactly the Bison, they are two-time defending FCS champions, basically the 1AA that we all have known and loved.
Right, the artist formerly known as 1AA. Did you just call them the Bisons? Is that a North Dakota? Isn't it Bisons?
Bison.
I don't know if that was a North Dakota.
Well, again, it might be a little of that North Dakota slang coming out. Like, anytime I travel back to North Dakota and I come back, the students day one, they're like,
Bison.
Repeat that.
He's some Bison, eh?
That accent just comes back out. But anyways, they're two-time defending national champions.
Right, the gap has closed between, form FCS, FBS, whatever. 1AA, it's just easier. I don't know why they don't bring that back. But yeah, no, I mean, they're a solid team. That's a stupid game for Kansas State to play. You're asking for it. You're playing with fire, playing a team like that who's proven they can win, proven they got brass stones.
And here's the thing is, they've proven they can do it and what everyone knows they're going to do. Because the one thing you know about North Dakota is you're going to have big dudes on the line. On the offensive defensive line.
And you got a system that's been established and has been successful.
Bingo.
So they know what to do.
And that system is running the football.
Yeah.
I mean, their quarterback, his stats are kind of good. Kind of good by he went 21 for 30. But he only threw for 165 yards. Again, kind of good. The good part about that, he's moving the chains. But North Dakota, they almost had 300 yards rushing that game. So that's the big point about it, is they run the football.
Run the ball. You're seeing it. I've been saying it for the last few years. Everybody's so pass happy. You look at the teams that made the playoffs. I forget what the stat is. I should have wrote it down. But you've got to run the football in the NFL to make the playoffs. And at any level, you got to control the rock, because four things happen when you throw the ball and three of them are bad. Speaking of which, did you happen to see the Clemson-Georgia game?
I saw the first half, and I love the first half. It's probably one of the most engaging first halves of football I've seen.
Big Taj Boyd fan.
In a long time.
He's
maybe since last season.
No. Yeah. Speaking of throwing the football, that's the segue I was looking for. How about the guy from Troy? Did you see that? He set a record. He was 30 of 32, which is a 93.8% completion ratio. 34-31 win over UAB. 30 of 32.
Hey, Coach, before we get into this, though, again, because I am a North Dakota guy, yep, I do want to kind of bring out a couple of tidbits about that game.
Okay.
That was the second largest home crowd of Kansas State's home football history. And again, they're not a premier D1 school.
Oh, bullshit.
Again,
yes, they are.
But again, they're not a USC, UCLA, that's like, you know, primetime football type of thing.
Mm-hmm, pretty primetime.
That was the second largest crowd that they ever had.
Because of the Bill Snyder, they were naming the stadium after Bill Snyder. I know, right?
Yeah, they got the statue and everything out there.
Talk about the hype and all the bullshit that must have been blowing through the state of Kansas the whole time, and they go out and lose to North Dakota State.
And the one thing, too, is I love when you can put an exclamation point on something. And the one thing that me and you both brought up is North Dakota State, we know who they are. They're big guys. They're going to run the football. They're going to play great defense. They were able to close off the game with an 80-yard drive that took 18 plays.
Wow.
And only left 28 seconds left on the clock.
Trust in the system.
And that
trust in what's been going on there. I don't even know who the head coach is, but I'm sure he does a great job. And I'm sure if some big-time, quote-unquote, program hired him, he'd win there, too.
One of the things that was always told to me through high school and college, where I both participated in North Dakota, was it's not how many things we know, it's how well we know them.
That's exactly right. Simple is better. It's a simple game.
Pat O'Donnell. There you go.
And everybody forgets about that. A couple more interesting games. How about Towson, formerly known as Towson State, beating up on UConn 33-18. Now, some people might not think that's, but beating up on UConn 33-18. And UConn was going the right way. And UConn has a ton of athletes. But again, my point being, in another one, East Washington beating Oregon State 49-46. These 1AA teams, FCS, whatever the heck you want to call them, they give 60 scholarships as well. So you got players everywhere. And if they can go out and get a quarterback, a stud quarterback who for some reason fell through the cracks for one reason or another, they could compete with these big teams. And I think you're seeing it now. I don't think that would happen 10 years ago, but you see it now. These you got talented kids. And any given Saturday, you have that type of situation, unless it's Oregon versus Nicholls State, 66-3. But Nicholls State, I don't even know where that is. Do you?
No.
It's out in the middle of nowhere where you're from.
I keep on getting all these calls and text messages right now from people, and it keeps on, every time I'm trying to look these things up, it's interrupting it, so.
Well, the North Dakota people are all fired up. You happen to catch the...
You need to call the show. Coach, can you give them that number?
Oh, sure, absolutely. 1-800-893-9562. Again, that's 1-800-893-9562, Skid Row Studios.
Again, everything's linked to electronic devices these days, people.
How about the Clowney Show? How about the Clowney Show, South Carolina? Did you happen to see that on Friday night? Friday night, Clowney. Look, this is the first time where everybody's on this defensive lineman. It was 115 degrees. Nothing. He was sputtering the whole time.
What do you mean by that?
Hands on the hips, not running out plays, just kind of shadowing a quarterback. You know what I mean? Never, not really wanting to get after it. He showed flashes of brilliance, but it's funny. One blown block and don't get me wrong. I think Clowney is unbelievable. I think he's going to be a Pro Bowler. But one blown block in a bowl game last year, and ESPN just jocked that for the last 6 months, and they have built this guy into probably the most hyped defensive lineman in college football history. I can't name another one. That's been that hyped up at this point, calling him a Heisman candidate.
Especially offensive line. I mean,
Defensive line.
Just to say defensive player. Defensive lineman, first of all, was the first thing that stood out. Again, I'm going to assume offensive line because that's all the Heisman goes for is offensive players. But just to be on the defense, be considered for the Heisman is, I mean.
He won't be considered. He won't even make it to the, he won't even make it to New York.
I despise the character of the Honey Badger.
The Honey Badger, they're saying he's going to be an all pro. I think it's great. I think he's a great player. He's like 5'7".
Again, but his attitude, the attitude that he brings. But again, if you're 5'7", that's the attitude you need to bring to do what he does. You know, I mean, and again, the stupidity of what the stupid crimes that he committed to get himself in trouble.
He smokes weed, and weed is legal now in shit, more than half the states in the country.
But it was illegal in his state. It's very easy to find this out. I mean, it's come on here. I mean,
Nittany Lions 23, Orangemen 17. Another game that I really liked watching, this Christian Hackenberg kid, the true freshman who started for Penn State, is a player. He is going to be a real good player. Penn State found a great one. Penn State will be able to compete with 65 scholarships as opposed to the 85 scholarships, something like that. They lost to 20 scholarships. Other games, UCLA 58, Nevada 20, UCLA racking up 345 yards on the ground. I love the way these teams are pounding the ball now. And what you're seeing is you're seeing a lot of single wing principles. And I'm going to talk about single wing here in a minute. But you're seeing the shotgun run game really done. The misdirection that these teams are providing with the quarterback and the quarterback run game and the way that they're reading the edges, really something. It is something to behold that these teams can put up all these points. Go.
Coach, question for you. When you talk about the single wing and we hear a lot about the pistols, is there a correlation between the two or are they the same thing?
Anytime that your quarterback is the focal run point and he's in a shotgun, it's a shotgun run game and you're getting a lot of motion and you're getting backs stacked in certain formations, those are all essentially from the single wing formation. And people like to say the word spread, but that's not really the case. True, you kind of spread teams out, but anytime the quarterback is a focal point of running the football, it's a hybrid of the single wing.
Well, so you're saying that UCLA is now running this and running it well, correct?
Oh, no, no, UCLA. I'm saying the other teams in general.
Oh, okay.
Georgia was doing a lot of it. Clemson's doing a lot of it. When you put a fullback in front of a quarterback, that is single wing principles.
The pistol. I mean that's
no,
pretty
well,
much...
pistol. The halfback is behind the quarterback, yeah. So that's a little bit different. But when you see the fullback in front, which is what a lot of teams do in front of the quarterback, that is essentially single wing. But single wing has a lot more unbalanced stuff.
Gotcha. The reason why I bring that up is like Neuheisel, the head coach of UCLA before Jim Mora Jr. He tried bringing the pistol to UCLA. During his tenure, and it really did not go over very well. I know one of his biggest critics was Troy Aikman, who was a UCLA quarterback, and he really criticized Neuheisel for trying to reinvent the quarterback position. But basically, in reality, it was reinvented in Nevada.
No, the Chris Ault Nevada system was one of the big reasons why it changed. But what Ricky's problem was is he recruited this Hundley guy who was a great player, and then he got fired when Hundley came in. And he never had a chance to use Hundley. If he had gotten a chance to coach Hundley, Rick Neuheisel would be fine right now. Jim Mora is reaping the benefits of Neuheisel's efforts.
Coach Neuheisel had 4 years. Jim Mora has a defense that UCLA has been waiting to arrive.
Well, anytime anybody takes over a college program from someone else, they have the recruits of that previous administration, and they're reaping the benefits of that previous administration. I think Rick Neuheisel did a good job. I think he was fired a year too soon.
I think he was fired a year too late, and I think Jim Mora should still be in Seattle. But anyways, I guess there's always two sides to the coin, correct?
Absolutely. Great. Hey, look, I am excited about college football. Two of my favorite quarterbacks. I'm smitten with Johnny Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater, and they are right after Doug Flutie already of my favorite college quarterbacks of all time. Vince Young being right there, Michael Vick of Bad News Kennels being right there, and it's going to be a great season. Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater coming out of the gates of the Heisman. Let's talk about concussions. Let's go to the NFL. Let's talk about the head. That really draws me off sides, Lurk.
What's that, man?
That's before we get into concussions. Just grown men wearing jerseys of guys 15, 20 years younger than them. Just watching some the last preseason games this past Thursday. All the teams played. It just really rubbed me raw. Really drew me offside.
So it'd be like, who did Patriots draft first round this year?
I don't know. I can't even think of it off the top of my head. I don't know. Jimmy Collins, I think, was their first pick. I think he was a second round.
Okay, so it'd be
pick.
Like some 50-year-old dude wearing a Jimmy Collins jersey?
James Collins. Yeah. In general. Moving on, you sound like you've been concussed. NFL concussion, $760 million. You see that settlement?
That was
$765 million.
I'm actually happy it just got done and over with, to be honest with you.
What do you think about that? People seem to divided on that issue. I'll give you my opinion after you give me yours. Go.
Again, like I said, I think it's evident that the sport does cause a lot of damage. I mean,
but everybody's known that.
Yeah. I mean, we've known that, but at the same time, where I'm on the other side is these people have chose to do that for a profession. Everyone chooses to do what they do for a profession. They got to take the consequences. I have an uncle who worked in a copy machine factory, or not factory, but a copy factory for many, many years, and now he has to basically breathe into an oxygen mask.
Or guys who go down in coal mines and stuff like that.
The same thing. Every job has its consequences. And so I look at that as a consequence of the job.
And I see both sides of the argument. The science has changed. I really think that nobody really knew that the concussions were causing CTE and stuff like that. I think the research finally came in. Their point is that this guy who was running the show under the Tagliabue administration was a Dr. Pellman was doing shoddy research. He was a rheumatologist, which is like an arthritis doctor. And he was the one that was supposedly doing all these tests. And what they're saying is that the NFL willfully knew that these headaches were being caused all the time. and these concussions were being covered up. I don't know. I don't think they were sitting around a table being like, oh, the concussions, we got to cover this up. We can't, you know, some dark room. I just don't think that's the case.
I completely agree. I don't think that was the case either, but I'm happy. But at the same time, it was going to be millions of dollars and any time.
Billions. They're talking $2 billion.
Anytime anyone's giving up money,
you're in for the crap. Yeah. I don't know. I always like players getting money because I think players deserve it over owners. I think any jerk off can own an NFL team because they're under so many different rules. The antitrust rules of the NFL, they have market protection. They have, and most of those guys have inherited that money and inherited those teams. And the NFL made $10 billion in 2012, and their projected goal for 2027, which will be here before you know it, is $25 billion revenue for the NFL. Billion!
It's a whole lot of guacamole.
So for them, like a lot of people say, that's chump change for the NFL to be able to just toss out $765 million for these concussions. But I know, these guys know what they're getting into. What about the kids who play JV football and get three concussions in one week? Not well, 1 week, but one season. You know, these kids, it happens all the time. And they've never had the notoriety. And everybody knows that you can get concussions. Shit, I had several concussions myself. But I know you can't compare my little playing career, if you can even call that, to an NFLer. But my God. Speaking of concussions, segue lurk. Anybody ever thought that Aaron Hernandez is going to play the concussion card with his trial? Did you happen to read the Rolling Stone article?
No.
The Rolling Stone article was interesting because it pointed out a lot of things. And I think a lot of it was fraudulent. Now, the Rolling Stone article talked about how Aaron Hernandez went down to the combine this year. I believe it's in Indianapolis every year. He went to the combine and he told Billy Belichick that he was in fear of his life. And he also came out in that article that Hernandez was smoking sherm, kid. Sherm, yo. I don't know if you know anything about that, but you stop messing around with that. It's just twist you. I've never done it, but I have several friends who have done it. But it twists you. It puts you in a paranoid state. It makes you crazy. You see things that aren't there. But they're saying in the article that he was smoking that stuff in the parking lot on his way out of games, out of practice. And then he went to Billy and he told Billy, hey, you know, people are going to kill me. And supposedly Belichick said to him, oh, just go ahead and get a safe house. Well, he got a safe house in Franklin, Mass., which is, you know, Podunk, Massachusetts. It's out in the middle of Massachusetts. And anyone's going to know if Aaron Hernandez is renting a place in Franklin, Mass. But he's saying, go to the safe house and you know, lay low for a little bit. I don't think that happened at all. I think that was just Rolling Stone, Ron Borges, who's a Boston sports writer, I think that was him just embellishing the story, taking some information from some second-rate source, one of his, you know, homie of a homie of Aaron Hernandez, and took that and ran with it. I don't see it. The Kraft family has already come out and condemned it and said that, you know, 3 to 4 things are factually inaccurate in that story. I think it's one of them. But bottom line, I think Aaron Hernandez was smoking angel dust, PCP. And I think that was one of the biggest reasons why that whole situation had to go down. I think he might get off only because they still haven't found the gun. And I think him and his other boy are going to turn on the third guy and say he was the one that shot him. And that may be my, you know, conspiracy theory. But I don't know. I think he's going to get off. At the very least, I don't think he's going to go away for murder. I don't think he's going to go away for murder for life. I think he's going to get off in 10 years, something like that. Anyway, moving on. Watch the program this week. NFL, the 10 things they miss most about the NFL is not in existence anymore. Stick'em, number one. And they still have stick'em. It's in the form of gloves. Real grass, number two. Real grass. Goalposts in the front was the third one. Nicknames. I love the nicknames in the old NFL. Guys like they used to call Phil Villapiano, was a longtime Raider. Used to call him Foo. Because he said when he would drink, he looked like a Chinaman. Sorry. That's a great. And he said, I look like a Chinaman after I drink beers.
Just imagine if that was a Twitter world and where what that kind of statement would get you today.
Right, right. He'd be in trouble. I don't think he'd be suspended, but you never know. Maybe he'd be suspended for a half. Still can't believe they did that. One half. Coaches dressed up in fedoras and suits is up there. Barefoot kickers. I don't know what the hell the deal is a barefoot kicker. Why would you even have a barefoot kicker? Why would somebody come out and kick the ball barefoot? Any potential benefits of that you can think of, Lurk? Nothing.
I would just say the softness of the leather of the shoe and the cotton of the sock took away from the
feel,
the force that was getting directed by the bone. Because again, anytime you have
science,
exactly the science of it. Anytime you have soft objects in between hard objects, you take away the force, and so that's the only logical reasoning.
There is no logical reasoning. 8 fullbacks, 9 football in L.A. Football in L.A.
Welcome, Tim Tebow.
Yeah,
possibly.
Kills, maybe. Talk about that in 1 minute. And the 10th one, I've been saying, why don't quarterbacks call their own plays? Why doesn't any quarterback call their own plays? I would just let them go. Because you know they're going to be comfortable. Whatever play they call, they're going to be comfortable doing, and they think it's going to work. And they probably know more than the guy who's sitting up in the booth.
But in the heat of the moment, though, I mean, you've been there where you, like...
No, not really. Well, calling plays, yeah.
There's been many times, like on a wrestling mat, where I'd be like, I want to do this, I want to do this, and I'll hear, like, the one or two words by my coach about something else to do, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so much better. You know, to where in the heat of the moment, you don't always make the best decisions.
Oh, well, of course. You got the headset. They're going to make suggestions in what's going on, and they will give them plays. But for the most part, you let the, I would think.
Well, the way you stated it, you want the quarterbacks to be the offensive coordinators. Again.
But I mean, it's not like, oh, no, stay away from him. You know what I mean? He's in the role. They obviously, there's a collaboration process.
Well, there should be a collaboration, but for one to be completely dominant over the other, I don't agree with. I think there needs to be, each needs to have their role. Yeah. One as the instructor, one as the doer.
The doer. Speaking of doing and what got done, how about the cuts in the NFL? Some interesting names being cut.
That there were. Should we run down the list?
Sure, go.
Well, let's start off with New England. They cut Tim Tebow, of all people, and Leon Washington. Tim Tebow was a first-round draft pick, which was a surprise first-round draft pick by a lot of people. Leon Washington was a fourth-round draft pick, which wasn't really a surprise, but once he got in the NFL, he really started producing. So, but he's been from team to team to team, and usually New England's one of the last teams to give people shots. I think both their careers are done after this one.
I think your career is done after this one.
Whoa.
No, I just get fired up with Timmy. I'm surprised, you know, they had to have known what they had with him. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they were shocked that he was so bad. I mean, he gave them what they thought he was going to be. So why even bring him in? Is my question. Leon Washington was a surprising one with me.
Just being a nice guy, I think. You know, you hear Kraft is a nice guy. I think it was just being a nice guy.
Nah, if that was the case, it'd be a lot more.
Anyways, we got Jonathan Dwyer out of Pittsburgh. The reason why he's kind of interesting is he was named the starter halfway through the Steelers season last year after posting back-to-back 100-yard gains or 100-yard games. And he was the first Steeler to do that since Willie Parker in 2008.
And they cut him.
And then Vince Young, another first-round quarterback. He was cut by the Green Bay Packers. It was kind of a surprise that they signed him. And since it was a surprise they signed him, it really wasn't so much a surprise they cut him.
This is amazing how in the last 11 years, the only quarterback who won a national championship in college that is still gainfully employed in the NFL right now is Cam Newton. Greg McElroy, Tim Tebow, Vince Young, Matt Leinart, all unemployed as of today. Isn't that amazing? It's almost like a curse that these players couldn't make it in the NFL.
That it is.
Brady Quinn, cut today from Seattle. Antoine Winfield, also retired/cut. Michael Robinson, a guy I actually worked with at Penn State, a guy I knew pretty well at the time. Interesting story. Quarterback turned fullback, Pro Bowler, cut. He won't stay unemployed very long. Too valuable. How about the Raiders cutting Tyler Wilson? What'd you think of that?
Well, they cut him. They didn't cut him till today. So when they actually had to submit their official 53-man roster, he was on there.
Huh.
But they cut him today. I didn't see who they resigned to fill his spot, but they cut him, but they kept McGoin.
Matty McGoin, big red.
The undrafted guy from Penn State. The Rudy, I would say, of Penn State from what I hear.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. He the guy's a playmaker. He's got that certain je ne sais quoi.
They say he's a baller.
Yeah.
Just like when you get him, like honestly, they say he's the Tim Tebow without the flair. You know,
he can throw.
Yeah, he can throw the football. He doesn't have the great running skills. He doesn't have the personality or the background, but everyone loves him. Everyone follows him, and he just gets the job done.
You know what I liked? Why Minnesota kept Joe Webb as a receiver. Do you remember he played quarterback? Now he's a receiver, and they kept him as a receiver. That's an interesting make.
That is.
Jimmy Clausen, cut from Carolina. I actually coached against Jimmy Clausen in high school.
The sad part about the Clausen story is who they kept over him.
Who? You know,
Derek Anderson.
Why is that such a sad thing?
Because he was the guy that all of a sudden had that great year in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
On this huge
contract. No, he is. He's all right, though.
And then he just stunk it up. And then who picked him up after that?
I don't know. There. Jimmy... When Jimmy Clausen was in high school, he was like a rock star. I was a defensive coordinator at school, and we played against him when he was at Oaks Christian, and the running back was Mark Tyler, who ended up going to USC as a running back. But Clausen, at the end of the game, I remember it was something, it was like Broadway Joe Namath. He had a jacket over him, and he had two police security walking him out. He was the number one recruit in the nation. Sports Illustrated came out and said he was the greatest high school quarterback of all time. He had like 50 touchdowns and 4 interceptions his sophomore year, something crazy like that. Never panned out in the pros.
Ever since he's been playing quarterback at Notre Dame, prominent radio DJ in L.A., Petros Bob Dinkins, he has 2 words to say about Jimmy Clausen every time he gets brought up.
What is that?
Small hands.
Small hands?
Small hands.
Really?
Never will be able to throw an NFL spiral, NFL ball, NFL distances.
Because the size of his hands? The
size of his hands.
Huh. You know what they say about guys with small hands?
Not sure.
Small gloves.
But I'm bum bum.
Matt Leinart out as well. Matt Leinart just faded. Nothing out of him. How about Pat White making the Washington Redskins squad? Washington's keeping 4 QBs. That's something.
Well, the Raiders kept 4 QBs yesterday and 2 punters. They kept 2 punters.
The Raiders did?
On their active roster. But again, they cut Wilson today and they cut Cluey today, the loudmouth out of Minnesota.
Still a lot of moves left. Okay. Still a lot of moves left to be made. The NFL, the schedule jockeying or the roster jockeying is one of those things that seems like it's never done.
And just to add like another just uniqueness to it, the Browns cut both their kickers. The 2 kickers competing for their spot, that one spot, they cut them both. So who knows who will be kicking field goals for the Browns this year. So if you've already drafted your fantasy football team and have a Browns kicker, you might need to go do some picking up of a new player.
All right, we got to get rolling here. We got so much to talk about and so little time. Watch a documentary this week of 30 for 30 on Jimmy the Greek, which was amazing to me. He made his biggest bet. He bet on Dewey to beat Truman in the presidential election. He won like $800,000. On that election because Dewey had a mustache and he knew women didn't like mustaches. So forget Jimmy the Greek, Davey the Mick, picking all the games for next week. Here we go. Baltimore at Denver. I got Denver winning 28-17. Denver's given 9. No? You don't agree? I was kidding. I got New England. I got New England beating Buffalo 35-14. I got Cincinnati beating Chicago 21-18. Got Miami beating Cleveland 24-21. Atlanta 27-21 over New Orleans. Tampa over the Jets 24-13. Pittsburgh over Tennessee 21-20. Detroit over Minnesota 31-17. Indy beating Oakland 27-14. Seattle beating Carolina 34-21.
I gave Coach the wave off. I am pretty anti-predicting. Yeah. I tell my athletes all the time, I go, Never ask me a hypothetical question.
You don't gamble?
Never ask me a question that I need to predict the future for. Because normally when I try predicting the future, I am a wrong individual.
You're wrong on so many levels. I want to put this down. I want to see where I'm at the end of the year. I want to keep track. I want to make a pick on every game this year and see where I'm at with it.
I just enjoy watching the games and seeing how they played out. I mean, I enjoy telling the story of the tale rather than trying to write it. I want to tell it, you know, witness it, tell it.
You're not a gambler then.
That's a good thing because normally I lose. So there you go.
Again,
you got to know your strengths and weaknesses.
You're right.
You got to know your strengths and weaknesses.
I got caught up in the Jimmy the Greek thing. However, I'm still gonna be able to
feel free.
It's my show, damn it, Lurk.
There you go. Again, there's two sides to every coin.
How about Green Bay versus San Francisco? Make a prediction. Don't give me a little spiel on I can't predict the future. Who do you think, Green Bay or San Francisco?
I'm going to say San Francisco because of the defense.
I got Green Bay 31-28 in an upset. San Fran is a 4.5-point favorite, though.
I'm going defense because I think San Fran's defense is just nails. They're mean. They get after it. And they're the one team that hits hard, and they've rarely gotten fined, and you rarely hear complaints about them. You hear a lot of complaints from Pittsburgh's defense, Pittsburgh's players. You get a little bit out of Denver, but you've never heard anything about San Fran, and they're shut down. Well, and again, they're shut down. Run. That means tackling.
Didn't San Fran have that block this week, though? Was it last week that it was that cut block and everybody was San Fran is cheap. San Fran is cheap. I don't exactly remember what it was, but
you hear that every free game.
That's true.
About a play or something. I mean, it's just like, oh, it's a cheap shot here, cut block, missed clip, something.
All right, we're introducing a new segment. It's called the Twit Bag. It's like a mailbag from Twitter, but it's called the Twit Bag. What do you think?
Sounds pretty clever.
First question, at Freeman McNeil 24. Anyone ever thought to eliminate the extra point and add the 1 point on to all remaining field goals? I don't like it. Because I think people take the extra point for granted because they do it so well. But it is not an easy thing to do. The Georgia game last night, Georgia missed a chip shot, which would have been, essentially it was a field goal that would have been, same distance and extra point, botched the snap. I don't like that.
I know, like last year, Greg Schiano, the head coach of Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he got in a lot of hot water or got a lot of controversy.
We talked about
it. Yeah, because he would instruct his linemen, like, well, when we're on defense and they're kicking an extra point, we're going all out. And in the NFL, a lot of linemen are saying, hey, this is just an extra point. It's a freebie. Either the kicker is going to make it or the kicker is going to miss it. And we don't want to get hurt over it. And that's the kind of the way I would like to look at it. I like to look at it as like we just need the kicker out there.
It's still nah. It's still important. I'll tell you why. The first game I ever won, which as a head coach was breaking a losing streak, which is the longest in the state of California, we won 7-6. We blocked the extra point. They scored first. We blocked the extra point. We went down, scored, kicked an extra point. We won 7-6. Extra points need to stay. 1 point, don't change it. Second question. Here's one.
Personal.
Yes, personal. Here's another one. Like, at Telly Two Putts. Good question. You got free reign to put Tim Tebow in any league, AFL, CFL, NFL, at any position, any package. How do you make him work at the pro level? And I talked about this earlier with the single wing. I would make him, it would have to be the NFL or the UFL because the AFL, they pass too much, and then the CFL is only three downs. It has to be a running team. Has to be a running concept. I'd put him in the single wing. I'd put a big bruising fullback in front of him, similar to what Urban did in Florida. And I'd have a spin offense, an unbalanced spin offense. And one of my running backs would be, I don't know, a Denard Robinson type, Cordell Stewart type, to bring it back, a guy who can run and throw. Tebow would be the quarterback who would run that downhill power and hand it off to some guys who could run and throw. Single wing. Bill Walsh said his biggest regret, I don't know if I told you this, Bill Walsh said his biggest regret that he never ran the single wing offense with Steve Young. He thought it would have been able to crush the league.
When did he say this?
He said in one of his, I think his autobiography. Look it up.
I'll note it.
Vince Lombardi said that if they brought back the single wing, that he would make the NFL look foolish. Everybody would be, or if somebody brought it back, that would make the NFL look foolish. A single wing is a tremendously effective offense. I think Tebow could run it really well with the misdirection, play action. Ask the guy to do what he does. Unfortunately, I don't think he's ever going to get another shot. Do you think he's ever going to get another shot?
No.
Not in the NFL?
Well, Terrell Davis today said the only team that should and would be smart enough to give him another shot would be the Raiders because they got nothing else to lose.
Right.
At least and pretty- I completely agree with him.
Right. I think Tim Tebow is a more dangerous athlete than Matt McGloin. I don't think Matt McGloin's ever going to win you a Super Bowl. I don't think Tebow will either, but at least make it relevant.
And again, if for us to win a game this year is going to be tough, and so we might as well just sell some tickets and build up some cash for next year's free agent spending spree.
I think if you put Tebow and Terrell Pryor on the field at the same time and found a way to do double passes and sweeps and misdirection plays, I think you would have something. I know you would have something. I've seen it work. Granted, it's high school and it's different, but misdirection and shotgun quarterback run game is about as lethal as you can get, and I still think Tebow can do it, but not in the CFL or the AFL because of the style of play. It has to be in the NFL to answer the question. Two more questions. At Sweating Mullets, where do you rank Alex Smith in the top three quarterbacks of all time? Number two, Tom Brady one, Alex Smith two, Peyton Manning three. And last question for racism. Racism, RAYSISM. How far can you punt a football? I got that in the middle of the week. I went out and did it in practice this week. Without the rolls in the air, I get three kicks. 27 yards, 35 yards, 32. I would guess that is a average of, what, 30? About 30 yards. Not a punter. You know,
or a mathematician.
Or a mathematician, for that matter. But yeah, 27, 35, 32, it's about 30, 31. 31 yards. So those are questions from the twit bag. Moving on. You know what really draws me offside, Lurk?
What's that?
The fact that these concussion payouts, they have to pay half of it next year, and they have to pay the other half over the next 25 years. A lot of these guys that had these concussions that have these suits, they're probably going to be gone. Does that make sense?
It does. They're not going to reap the benefits of all their fight.
No, they're not. They're not going to reap the benefits of all their fight. You know, I don't know. You got anything that draws you offside?
I do. And it kind of goes outside our realm because we're Hard Yards LA. And I'm going to go in the baseball world. And one of the things that bothers me is when you don't get what you paid for. And the Cubs. The Cubs have one of the highest or the most expensive baseball tickets of all baseball teams. But yet, over the past decade, just like the Raiders, they have been the worst, the worst, the worst. But at least they don't talk about Oakland as having the most expensive football tickets. Well, the Cubs hired one of Boston's architects.
Theo Epstein,
one of the architects of their championship run or multiple championships. And he was supposed to be like this young genius that kind of cultivated the Moneyball aspect that was used in Oakland with Billy Bean.
A similar thing.
Very similar. And he was quoted this week. He's going to be starting his third year next year with the club, and they are still horrible. They are still the worst in the major league. And he was basically made the richest GM in baseball. And this was his quote. We have a five-year plan, and right now we're in year two. Next year we'll be starting year three. And that was pretty much it. And I think that's bullshit, especially when you have the Yankees, you have the Dodgers, you have these teams putting out $200, $250 million payrolls because, again, they want to treat their fans well. They want to win now. But what really kind of caught me off guard was a five-year plan. And there's no one in any professional sports that has the leniency of having a five-year plan. But I remember a quote from Bear Bryant, and he talked about his five-year plan. And this is a quote from Bear Bryant. Our game plan this year is to have a 500 season. For our second year, the goal is a conference championship. The third year, we hope to be undefeated. And for our fourth, we'll be winning a national championship. Then our fifth, we'll be spending in probation, of course.
When do you make that?
I don't know the date, but I know the quote. And so that is a Bear Bryant quote about a five-year plan, basically working in college football. And basically, when you start thinking about a five-year plan, you're just thinking either I'm a crook or I'm a cheat because it doesn't really exist.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
So Theo Epstein's five-year plan, I think it's garbage. It drew me offside.
Theo was, it draws me offsides too. I could go on about Theo, but this is not a baseball podcast because Mr. Epstein got lucky on. Look, he did a lot of good things, but he got lucky on a lot of things as well. Before we start throwing some spirals, one more thing that really drew me offsides as well. How about all these pictures of Joe Flacco all over the city of Denver? If I lived in Denver and I'm a Bronco fan, thank God I'm not, I would be irate that all these pictures of Joe Flacco are showing up all over the city. Have you seen that?
I've seen the pictures and I love it because...
Why?
Because I don't like Denver. I just, well...
You want Baltimore invading the city?
Yeah, I got no sympathy when it comes to Denver. So if you're looking for
I'm not looking for Denver. I think it's just bad marketing. Why would you put the guy all over? They're not going to be watching the fucking game anyways. You know what I mean? It's just rubbing salt in the wound.
You say bad marketing, and I completely agree with that. But at the same time, if you really think about it, the Denver fans are never going to be that upset where they're not going to either watch or go to a Denver Broncos game.
That's what I mean. It's just a slap in the face. It's useless. It's ignorant. What's the point? Oh, I see Joe Flacco. Yeah, we're going to get him. Now I'm going to watch the game? Dumb. Just the NFL being dumb. No fun league. They're just lucky they got the product.
Goodell's and the hammer from hell.
They got the product, and the people are so involved in tribalism, and they get so heated about their own individual teams that no matter what they put out there to us, we're still going to buy it. Darrell Revis, last thing. Darrell Revis, before we get into spirals, Darrell Revis to Richard Sherman, quit attaching yourself to my career. I love that quote. Richard Sherman's kind of a clown. Suspended last year for the Adderall drug scandal and just pumping himself all the time and saying he's better than Revis and all that. What do you think? Who would you rather have, Revis or Sherman? Tomorrow. Game tomorrow. Who do you want, Revis or Sherman?
Revis has always been more of a player than a talker. Sherman's always been more of a talker than a player, so I'm taking Revis.
Yeah. Sherman's a player, though. Sherman's huge.
He has a big mouth, and he's made mistakes, too. Revis has been solid. I mean, when Revis is on the field, I have yet to see him let his team down. And he's never been on my team, so I have never liked it. So I will give him that.
Coming off injury, though.
So did Adrian Peterson. Look at the season he had.
That's true, but...
And then Derrick Rose did the same thing, but again, the same basketball.
The same basketball and running backs... A little different thing, although, I don't know. Corners are the best athletes in pro sports. A cornerback.
No.
Who is?
NBA center. NBA player.
Any NBA player?
Yeah.
If you think he's more athletic than a corner? He's got more pressure on than a corner? Because if a guy blows by you in the NBA, it's 2 points.
But again, the corner has 8 seconds to have that play, then he gets 30 seconds of rest afterwards, too. And think about what he needs to do and what he needs to do next for the NBA player. Again, I'm a wrestler, and I do not like basketball. I'm not a basketball advocate. So for me to say this, I'm kind of kicking myself in the nuts right now. But I believe, like, when we talk about NBA athletes, they're the best at. They're the most athletic.
You are bowing down.
Do they have the heart of a – do they have the greatest heart of an athlete? No.
You are bowing down to the other winter sport.
I am. I have to.
Well, we get the second best athletes that don't play basketball. I agree. I have a tremendous respect for the athletes in the NBA, but a cornerback, you got to cover the fastest guy, and then you got to come up and tackle. I don't know. I just think the corner is the toughest position to play in sports. Quarterback is right there as well. Well, that brings us to the section of the show we like to call Spiral. I got the first spiral for you, Lurk.
All righty.
Who is the first wide receiver to be drafted number one overall? Ooh. It's called Dead Air.
I'm just going to go Fran Tarkenton.
First wide receiver?
Yeah, I have no, I'm just pulling out of my ass.
Irvin Fryer.
What?
First wide receiver ever to be drafted number one overall.
Patriot. So for all those years, there has never been a wide receiver.
1984, New England Patriots. Irvin Fryer was the first wide receiver to be drafted number one overall. Go.
My goodness. All right. Well, since we're talking about the Patriots, and they're kind of known as the latest dynasty, and they've won a couple Super Bowls in their time, how many Super Bowl rings does the winning team receive once winning the Super Bowl to hand out at their discretion?
75.
Double it.
150. Hmm. Yeah, never would have known that. Huh. Oldest player in the history of NFL to score four touchdowns in a single game.
You do this to me every time when I draw a blank. It's going to be Jim Plunkett.
Oldest player to score four touchdowns in a single game. Irvin Fryer. Reach a manual, man. Come on.
How many did Jim Plunkett score?
I don't know. 34 years old. No, how oldest player to score? How many? How old was he? I don't know.
Well, I guess the score, but the throw.
Oldest player to score four touchdowns in a single game. 34 years old.
We might have
Irvin Fryer. I'm
gonna do some corrections here.
Do you see? Oh, you got a challenge?
We'll see.
You want to throw the challenge flag?
We'll see if next week we'll throw a flag on this one or not.
To score four touchdowns. If you're saying throw four touchdowns in a single game, it's different, but.
Okay, that's
different.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Well, throwing the ball is different than catching the ball and putting it over the goal line. Irvin Fryer, come on. You notice the theme? Go.
I do notice the theme.
Go. I'm chucking spirals off your red dome, kid.
Ding, ding, ding. All right. The Pro Bowl, it used to be called the NFL's All-Star Game, which first started in 1938. What was the venue called that was first held at?
Aloha Stadium.
Incorrect. Wrigley Field.
Was the first place to ever have an NFL All-Star Game?
The NFL All-Star Game, which is now known as the Pro Bowl.
Is that Wrigley Field?
Wrigley Field.
That's a good one. First wild card team to win a Super Bowl?
Giants. Oh, no, Pittsburgh.
Oakland Raiders, again, another spiral off your freaking, right in your grill piece. Oakland Raiders, Super Bowl 15. Come on, man. Read your manual. Get up to speed.
Go. Dang it. Oh, I'm just getting beat down here. Yeah, All right, as always. So I'm going to lob one at you. So
throw a softball at me. Go.
The NFL All-Star Game that took place in 1938, which is now known as the NFL Pro Bowl, which was held at Wrigley Field. Which city was it in?
Chicago.
Incorrect. It was
Los Angeles.
Wrigley Field, Los Angeles.
That's funny. I didn't know that. Well, as soon as you gave me that look, my second guess was going to be.
I guess there's a theme here, people. We're in downtown Los Angeles.
Saying that, but Los Angeles was the first Pro Bowl and the first Super Bowl, and we don't have any professional teams until. The Chaos, which are coming in the spring, but, you know, it's not the same thing.
We had Wrigley Field, Los Angeles, till 1964, until it was tore down. It was an exact replica of Wrigley Field that was in Chicago, but it only housed 21,000 people, and the person that owned it owned both the Cubs and the Angels.
Yeah, so they have that that field in Catalina. They got the Wrigley Field Catalina there. They used to have spring training.
The area of Wrigley Field, Los Angeles, now known as South Central LA, the poorest area of Los Angeles.
Last spiral. Who is the player that scored the only touchdown in the Patriots Super Bowl versus the Bears?
Brady.
Versus the Bears in 1986.
Oh, I'm sorry. Again, this is before my time.
I'm gonna.
I have no fucking idea.
You just get dumber by the second. Irvin Fry, you fucking clown. That's it. I'm out of here. Go ahead. Go home and study, Lurk. Go do something with your life. Unbelievable. I'm out of here.
Common sense is not our thing, I guess.
Yeah, not your thing. This is the coach. That's Lurk. We're out of here. Football, NFL, Thursday night. Set your calendar. Later.
K-I-D-O-W from the wall to the door. What you wanna do? Do you want some hardcore? Do you like it raw? South Olive, downtown LA. Skid Row Studios, motherfucker.
This is Melvin Ishmael Johnson inviting you to listen to the Coat Rhyme Report Monday at 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time at www.skidrowstudios.com. We discuss issues that's relevant to the Skid Row and downtown community. Tune in and check us out.